Tonight we're going to be preaching from where? Psalm 55, yes ma'am. Let's turn there, please, if you will. Psalm chapter 55. The title of the message tonight is Staying in Touch. Staying in Touch. There's just so much in this portion of Scripture that we were unable to, for time's sake, touch on this morning, that I felt extremely impressed of the Lord to come back here tonight. Now, I didn't know who would be here and who wouldn't be. You have kind of an idea after a while, but I did not know the absence of those that would be missing tonight. But the Lord did. And so I'm believing that if for nobody else, the Lord gave us this for me, but maybe for you too. I wish that you would pray and ask the Lord if there's something here He wants you to glean from, that He would unlock your understanding and your heart and give you a good attitude about learning it, and then take it and do with it what God wants done with it. And so beginning in verse number 16, the Bible says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear him not," or they fear not God. "He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, and yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, even just for the privilege to stop and try to invoke your blessing upon the preaching of this marvelous book. We need your help, and we believe, Lord, you want to give it. I pray that our hearts are in tune so that you might be able to do that. I do pray, Lord, for Brother Joe and Lord, for Miss Elizabeth and others that are sick tonight that perhaps we don't even know about. I ask you to raise them up and help them, Lord, not to become more seriously ill. I pray, Father, that whatever is to be accomplished in their lives would be done during this time of being sick and away from us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Bless the word tonight, the preaching and the hearing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In our text tonight, we see the Lord pointing to an answer to a problem. That answer is upright and it's honest and it's downright acceptable to the Lord, and it's of great benefit to us. Daniel has had some real bad things happen to him. David has had some real bad things happen to him. And the Lord has directed him to leave a written recording of these things so that we'll have them, reminding us that life is short and we ought to learn from other people. Sometimes I think we'd save ourselves a lot of lumps and bumps if we would learn from history. Somebody said the one thing we learn from history is that we never learn much from history. And I've heard that said many, many times. But we ought to learn from history. And certainly when we think of his story, the Bible, we ought to learn things from that. And so we want to note some things as we get down to verse number 16. And then we want to share some thoughts with you tonight about staying in touch. How many times has a parent told a child, "I want you to stay in touch"? If a child gets ready to leave the home, maybe going off to school or going off to the military or moving away, and maybe they've taken a job in a far country or a far land, a different state or a different city or town, and the parent says, "Stay in touch." And nothing happens and nothing happens and nothing happens, and mom and dad have been sending, you know, these little gift packages and one thing or another, and so all of a sudden, mom and dad decide they're not going to send anything more until they hear something. And when the well runs dry, they start getting phone calls and letters and communications and so forth. I think sometimes God allows trouble to come into our lives so that we'll stay in touch, so that we'll talk to Him and communicate with Him and fellowship with Him and so forth. And I see that in this portion of Scripture, and I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you tonight. Now, let me say this about life. And you may be going through a time when you're in a deep valley and things are going wrong, but no doubt there are problems. The Bible testifies in Job chapter 5 and verse number 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. You know, if you go out and you start a fire up at the camp out and out here, when we have fires out here, someone will throw a log on the fire. You don't see the sparks. Very seldom do the sparks fly down. And if they are, they're propelled by gases in the wood and one thing or another, or by the wind. But sparks always fly upward. Now, they go up and come back down. But the Bible says that man is as much born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're guaranteed there's trouble, no doubt. I'm not saying tonight that there isn't trouble around, because there is. John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, man that is born of woman. How many of you were born of a woman? I think that's just about all of us. Amen. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so for somebody to mount the pulpit or try to share with us from another position somewhere life is just a dream. No. The Bible says there's trouble. There's problems. We're going to incur those things. We have problems with our health. Tonight, our attendance is down. Our attendance was down this morning because of health. Now, I think it was down for some other reasons too, but we know that health was involved, and we need to understand that tonight. Family problems can be a problem that comes into people's lives. And if you have children, and unless they're perfect, like mine weren't, you're going to have some problems with your children. There's going to be disagreements, and there's going to be times of stress and one thing or another if you have a family at all. Finances can be a problem. Of course, none of us know about that. Finances can be a problem. Employment can be a problem. All kinds of problems come into our life. Neighbors can be a problem. I'm glad that we have now where we live presently. We have neighbors that we at least are social with or cordial with. Excuse me, not social. Cordial with. Like them. Have a witness to them and for them and so forth. And then, of course, expectations can cause problems. We expect something and it doesn't come to pass, and sometimes we get in trouble there. And then of course, there's the issues of sin. And those are problems. And so, no doubt there are problems. And when David takes the pen to write this portion of Scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us something we already know. That life is full of troubles. And life is full of problems. Now, David details here his positions. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, there's troubles all around me. There's troubles everywhere. It doesn't matter if I look in front of me or beside me or back behind me. It doesn't matter, because the troubles are just all around. They're everywhere. And then he says in verse number 4 and 5 that there's terrors within. You know, when you see you're surrounded by trouble, and whether it's finances or family or health or whatever it might be, those troubles are around you. Sometimes our heart and our being becomes full of terrors, and the inside of us just kind of gets eaten up with the fears of life and problems. In verses 12 through 15, we see that treachery is closing in on David. And he noticed the friend that he thought was his is not his, and they had served God together, they'd walked off to the house of God together, they had visited together, they had probably fellowshiped together, maybe went fishing with. Brother Hoyt, who I've mentioned so many times, some of you feel like you know him, I'm sure. Brother Hoyt, if he wanted to pay a man a top compliment, he'd say, you could go hunting with him. You could go hunting with him. And I asked him one time, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you wouldn't take a loser hunting. I said, okay, that explained it. You can go hunting with him. And I believe that David said of this friend, we can go hunting together. We could spend time together. We could spend time with the sheep together. We could spend time together. He's my friend. But David realized that there was treachery closing in on him from everywhere. So David details here for us his position. And then David instructs us through this portion of Scripture that there's no deliverance in pity. Listen, we talked about that quite a bit this morning. But there's another P also. There's no deliverance in piety. Thinking that we're above trouble. Thinking that all of our troubles are someone else's fault. Never do we accept responsibility for it. It's always that somebody else caused the problem, if we ever had one. And we'd like for people sometimes to believe that we don't have one. When we think of piety and we think about being above problems, the Bible says the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 12, the Bible says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And so the Bible testifies to us that there's no deliverance in a pity party. A man who all the time is wrapped up in pitying himself is a pitiful mess. Hard to get along with. Hard to be around. Hard to spend time with. You want to say things to them. If you know you say it, it's going to drive them away. You wonder how much you're helping them if you don't say something to them. But pity is not a deliverance situation, nor is piety, thinking that we're above the situation. So here we get down to verse number 16, and David says he's dependent upon prayer. And I think when we get into trouble, and we do, when trouble flirts with us, trouble passes us by, temptation comes closer than what we would like for it to be, I think sometimes knowing that nothing comes into our life is not permitted by God, and nothing comes into our life that us and God together can't handle, and so we see these things coming frightening close, and I think it's the Lord sometimes saying, I sure wish he'd call home. I sure wish he'd stay in touch. I wish that he would just go somewhere and just sit down and just pour his heart out to me. I wish he'd spend time with me. I think it's what God is saying to us in this portion of Scripture. In verses 1 and 2, David says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Here we find that when David is speaking to us about prayer, he says that in order for our prayer to be heard, first off, we could go to the book of James. I didn't even think about this when I was filling out the outline, but when we could go to the book of James, and the Bible says we have not because we ask not. God can't answer an unprayed prayer. Now, he can answer a prayer before we pray it, but he doesn't answer it until we form it in our heart and we're ready to pray. So in order to be heard, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Sometimes we have our will, and we try to force that will upon God. We think because we want it so poorly or so massively, that surely this is what God wants. You remember David said in Psalms 37 that God desires to give us the desires of our heart. But what God wants to do is he wants to create proper desires in us, and then he wants to grant those desires to us. He wants us to want things. He wants us to desire things and to actually crave things and hunger for things, but he wants them to be the right thing. And then when we do those things, he delights in fulfilling those desires for us. And so the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, not in us, but in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And then in Psalm 66 and verse number 18, if we're going to be heard, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Oh, you know, that's scary. That's scary. God deals with our heart with something, and we very mistakenly have the idea, that's not as bad as so-and-so. That's not as bad as such and such. And we compare ourselves amongst ourselves, which the Bible says is not wise, and we think that we're okay when if we're going to compare ourselves to someone, we ought to compare ourselves to Jesus, and we always come up short. And so we need to understand that if I regard iniquity in my heart, God said, I will not hear. David said, hear me, give ear to my prayer. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. David's cry was that God would hear him. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, that's plain enough that farm boys can understand that. We don't need somebody to tell us what that really means. God simply says if there's a pet sin in our life, and upon the prompting of God, we're choosing to keep that rather than to submit to his will, God says, I'm sorry, child. I love you, but I just can't hear you. I can't listen to you. I have nothing to say. Then we get down to verse number 16. David says, as for me. Verse number 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon God. And so David says, I can't speak for other people. But in the midst of the trouble that I know I'm going to have, and the trouble that I'm going through right now, and the trouble that will be in the future, if I know anything about me, there's one thing I want to do. I want to call upon the Lord. I want to be in a fellowship situation with the Lord that allows me to just at any time call on him and be heard. He says, as for me, I'll call on the Lord. I can't talk for anybody else. Isn't that what Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24? Joshua said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I can't speak for you. I've led you. I've tried to be an example. I've tried to be an illustration to you. I'm an old man now. I can't make you love the Lord. I cannot make you serve God. But as for me. And that's what David is saying here. David says, as for me. No matter what they do, as for me. Do you know the pressure that takes off of you when you say you're going to put God at number one? And as for you, no one's going to take that place. Oh, the pressure that takes off of you. Oh, how we need to celebrate that. And then he said, I will call upon the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to think about it. He didn't say, I'm going to promise to do it. David said, I will. I will, verse number 16, I will call upon God. And then I believe when we call upon him, we need to come before him with great expectation. Sometimes we come to the house of God with no expectation. We don't expect the people to be here that we invited, if we invited anyone. We don't expect God to speak to hearts. We don't expect the music to move anybody to think spiritual things. We just come with little or no expectations. And I believe David had great expectation. I believe that because he says in verse number 16, and the Lord shall save me. David expected God to do what he asked him to do. Do we do that? Do we do that? When we invite someone to church, do we expect them to come? When we give someone the gospel, do we expect it to do what God sent it forth to do, like he said in the book of Isaiah? Do we have expectations in our service for the Lord? Do we have expectations in our prayers to God? Do we have expectations in our labors for him? We ought to have. Sometimes I think God gives us just what we expect. We expect nothing, and he says, okay, I didn't want to shock you, so I give you nothing. We need to have expectations. He said, the Lord shall save me. James speaks about that too. In chapter 1, verse number 6, he says, but let him ask in faith. Now this is talking, I know it's talking specifically about wisdom, but I believe it applies to every other principle in the Bible. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We pray, we talk to God, We go through the motions, and we're not expecting it. And God says, okay, give you what you ask for. Give you what you expect. And he gives us nothing. In verse number 17, he talks about the frequency of his prayer. He says in verse number 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I believe that the frequency is important. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 6 and verse number 10, the Bible tells us, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that's the writing that if you prayed to anybody but the statue of the king, you'd be killed. And when the writing was signed, Daniel knew that it was signed. He went into his house, his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So evidently, it was Daniel's habit to pray three times a day also, even when trouble came, and maybe even more frequently when trouble came. Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 3, the psalmist says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. In Psalms 88 and verse number 13, it says, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. And the word prevent means my prayer is going to meet you there. In fact, it actually says that my prayer is going to beat you there. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have the kind of a prayer life that our prayer could actually beat God to a certain place? That's what the word means. I'll be there ahead of you. What a wonderful thing to think of. And then, of course, there's praying at unusual times. In the book of Psalms and in the book of Acts, I find two different times when the Bible speaks specifically about praying at midnight. That's a pretty unusual time to be praying unless you've been up until midnight and you're fretting and everything. But I think we need to pray sometimes. I have never gotten out of bed at midnight to just to praise God and pray and walk around the house and say, Lord, thank you for this, and 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 thank you for my wife that's in there sleeping, and thank you for my kids, and thank you for Bethel Baptist Church. I've never done that. But when I read this and was thinking about it in context, I was ashamed that I'd never done that. I've gotten up and complained at midnight to God. God, why this, and why this, and why this, and how come this, and why not, and what are you doing, and how come? But I've never, in triumph, jumped out of bed at midnight and said to the missus, I'll be back after a bit. I just need to go talk to the Lord. He's been so good to me today. I'm going to go talk to him. In Psalms chapter 119, and verse number 62, the psalmist says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Just because you're honest, just because you're good, just because you're righteous, I'm going to get up at midnight. You know, he didn't get up and flip on a switch. If he had light, he had to light a candle or light a torch or light a fire. He said, I got out of bed at midnight. I'll arise at midnight to do that. And then I think that when trial, especially when trial turns to triumph, we need to be sure that we're thanking God. In the book of Acts, chapter number 16, we find that Paul was with Silas in jail. Verse number 25 comes up and it says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And we find that God took that tragedy and God turned it around and made it a triumph. And I think he probably did that because of their prayers. I think God looked down from heaven and said, those boys are excited about belonging to me. They're excited about what's happening in their life. And God just sent an earthquake to open up the doors of the prison and let them go. And so there's praying at unusual times. And I think when you study prayer out in the life of David even, I think one of the things you find is that there's no improper time to pray. I don't think there's anything improper to talk to God about. Now, our attitude can be improper. Our attitude can be one of selfishness and greed, and it can be one of a lack of thankfulness, and it can be one of arrogance and pride. Our attitude can be that way. But listen, God wants to talk to us about everything that's really on our mind and heart. And He's willing to listen 24/7 anytime we talk to Him. And then, I couldn't pass this by without stopping here for just a minute. The Bible says in verse number 19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Now notice this, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. The Bible testifies that God pays attention to the fact that when He speaks to our heart, we allow Him to change our heart. You know, the Bible says that when we fear God, there's changes in our life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When we get saved, we know that things change. But listen, when we just get in contact with God, we're talking to God, and he's overwhelmed us, and He's visiting with our hearts, there's changes that come into our life as we learn to fear Him. And the fear of disappointing Him is, I think, as valid as anything. And I believe, as I said when we started, that many times the problems and the trials that we face are simply a reminder for us to stay in touch. And so tonight, let me just say, maybe the Lord would like for you to call home tonight. Talk to Him at an unusual time. Meet Him in an unusual place. Talk to Him about what He's been talking to you about all day. I think if you do that, you'll find a victory that maybe you haven't seen for a while. That's what I pray will happen. Father, I thank You tonight for the book. I thank You, Lord, for the truths of it, the way You use it, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, Jesus said that we're clean through the word that He's spoken unto us. And we've seen that, Lord, and we desire that there'd be a change in our life, Lord, when we, as we agree with You, as we fear You, as we fall in the right relationship with You, Lord, I pray that the changes that You desire would be evident in our life to anyone who's paying attention. And so, Lord, tonight I pray for these folk who have been faithful. I'm sure, Lord, that with others being sick all of a sudden, there's probably some here that don't feel too well tonight also. Pray Your blessings on them for being here. Protect us, Lord, that we not all get sick. Lord, may we be finished with that. Bethel Baptist Church, may You make us a physically healthy church, a spiritually holy church. Lord, give us a people that just love You and want Your will done more than anything else. Help us, Lord, to stay in touch so we can stay in step, so we can do what needs done the way You want it done. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please, as the piano begins to play. If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come talk to Him tonight? You come, if God has spoken to your heart.